Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, it's time for our weekly conversation with the professor, John Clayton, who joins us here on 93.7 The Fan, our NFL insider. John, Napa, California, the site of where the Raiders are practicing right now. Everybody, I guess, but Antonio Brown, who's missed the last two practices, and John Gruden, none too pleased about it. Is this one of those things where you could have seen it coming?
Now you see why Hard Knocks is there, because you knew there was going to be drama. You knew there was going to be all these kind of different things. And, you know, here is Antonio Brown celebrating his arrival in Napa by taking an air balloon and then coming down and then failing the physical because he had a non-football injury, I guess, to his foot, missed a couple days, and I was back in the field, and I guess he's probably missed a couple. But, yeah, you can see that John's going to act up. John's going to play to the cameras and all that with Hard Knocks there. But, the one thing that they did in trading for him, they realized they got a hard-working guy, one of the hardest-working wide receivers, one of the hardest-working players in the National Football League. But it hurts not having him out there. But, again, it's just a couple of days of practice.
John, if you had to give me the ex-Steeler who will prove with a new team that he was worth the money or worth the trade, better chance it's Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell in 2019?
I think it's Antonio Brown without question because, I know that he's acted up and done crazy things, Antonio, in the last 3 years. I mean, certainly parted with his quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, did all kind of goofy things as far as social media, had a lot of different type of quotes. But the one thing is, he's got a six-year stretch where he's been one of the best receivers in football. I mean, arguably for 6 years, getting over 100 catches, putting his name up for a possible Hall of Fame trip. That's how good he is. Where Le'Veon Bell is one where you look at the numbers and, hey, he's a great back. But you notice that the NFL Network didn't even put him in the top 100 this year. All the players voting for that. And you worry, it's like, okay, after missing the season, is he going to be in a position where he's not going to, is he going to get an injury? How's he going to do? I mean, he's talking a good game. He's played a good game. But now we'll have to see this year if he can play as well as he's done before.
John, those NFL players had Aaron Donald rated as the best player in the NFL. Would you agree with that?
I would, yeah. I think he's that good. I mean, it was funny. I'm down here in Canton at the Hall of Fame, and we had a great day yesterday talking to and interviewing 10 Hall of Famers. One of those was John Randall. And John Randall made a great point. One of the things that John Randall did was that it was so natural for him. He said, it's like I was a three technique. And as a three technique, I was able to use my hands. And I knew I was so good in using my hands, I didn't even have to think about it. It's like, okay, get my hands on the offensive lineman blocking me and then just, get past him and all that with a couple of different moves. And when Aaron Donald doesn't even seem to have a couple of different moves. If you watch the highlights of when they played him as the number one player in the NFL Network's poll, the plays were just unbelievable. I mean, the guy's simply unblockable.
John, how about this? I don't know if you agree with this, but I guess I should just ask. Yeah. Would you call Mean Joe Green the greatest defensive tackle in NFL history?
In my opinion, yeah.
How about this then? In 5 years, Aaron Donald is just as decorated as Joe Green. They both won Defensive Rookie of the Year. They both are two-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year award winners. And they're both four-time first-team All-Pros. And Joe did that in 13 years, and Donald's done it in five. John, he should go down as the greatest maybe the greatest defensive lineman of all time if he keeps this up.
If he keeps that up, yeah. I mean, because at some point he's going to pass Reggie White. I mean, Reggie certainly was one of the greatest ever. He didn't have the full career in the NFL because he's in another league. USFL. So it's like, but when you look at what Aaron's on path to do, it's just amazing to see. Now, the one thing that you always have to kind of wonder about is that longevity factor. Because remember, J.J. Watt was heading in that same direction.
Yeah.
He's probably still heading in the same direction. And then he had a 2-year stretch where he had some injuries, missed some time and all that, and got to the point where you worried, was he going to be able to bounce back? And last year he was able to bounce back. Joe played straight through. He did such a great job for such a long period of time. But like anything else, longevity tells you, is like, if you can do it, you can pass some of the ones. And then, I mean, his name right now is under consideration as one of the best inside the defensive tackles ever.
We're talking to John Clayton, our NFL insider here on 93.7 The Fan. Going back to that top 100 player poll, I thought this was very illuminating and eye-opening. Antonio Brown in 2018 was the second-ranked player in the league. He goes AWOL. He basically quits and gives up on Week 17. He is ranked in this year's poll seventh, the seventh-best player. Ben Roethlisberger, who led the NFL in passing yards, John, went from the 18th-ranked player in the league down to 44th. He's the ninth-ranked quarterback in the league, according to the players. What do you make of that? Antonio Brown, the narrative doesn't really hurt him that much, but it seems like the players bought into Ben being maybe a bigger problem here in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, it sounds bad. I mean, I thought, and then not having Dak Prescott in the top 100 was two of the biggest slights ever, or at least this year. That was horrible. And it almost seemed as if, I don't know how Antonio is with friends around the league, but if his friends were voting friends, I mean, maybe he talked them out of voting for Ben Roethlisberger. But, I mean, Ben Roethlisberger is one of the top three quarterbacks in the National Football League. Maybe you can't put him above Aaron Rodgers. Maybe you can't put him above Tom Brady. But he's right there sitting, I think, in the number three hole.
Drew Brees was the highest-ranked guy, John. He's number two overall on this poll.
Was that again?
Drew Brees was second overall.
Yeah, Ben's better than him, in my opinion. I mean, because you think about this. I mean, Ben's been to a couple Super Bowls, and Drew, who's been in the league longer, has been into one Super Bowl. I mean, listen, it's a debate between Hall of Fame quarterbacks.
Yep.
Because Ben's going to make it, Drew's going to make it, but I still think, because the way I've always had it, and I still haven't had it to change, and it's interesting that Mike Sando from The Athletic now, I used to work with at ESPN as one of my best friends, and he pulled 55 front office coaches, you name it, it still had Brady and Rodgers right up there, and Ben right up there too.
John, what do you make of Brady's contract situation in New England? Is it a big deal?
Ultimately, they'll get a deal done.
But why doesn't he have a contract right now? Beyond this season.
What's that?
Why doesn't he have a contract beyond this season right now? What's your theory?
You kind of wonder. I mean, are they taking it so Bill Belichick wants to judge this year to see if there's going to be a drop off in his game and maybe they move on? But you got to understand, it's like there's also an owner in Bob Kraft who can act technically wants to overrule Bill Belichick. And you know how this is all going to go down is that Brady's career is going to be like John Elway, where ultimately, he'll get involved in the organization in a big way. I don't know if it's going to be ownership rights or eventually running things, but I think he's going to be a Patriot for life. But it's one where it is kind of unusual to let it go this long. But is it any different than Philip Rivers with the Chargers? Or is it any different with Drew Brees with New Orleans? I mean, sometimes you just have to kind of wait to get the deals done, particularly knowing that the Ben Roethlisberger deal pushed everything up to 34 mil.
John, do you feel like what Baker Mayfield did the other day at camp, calling out Odell Beckham Jr. for not coming back on a ball, and he said, well, that's what good teams do. The quarterback calls out the wide receiver, even if it is a temperamental kind of diva wide receiver. Is that a bad omen for the Browns, or is that a quarterback taking over the reins and taking charge of the offense?
I think it's a mistake. I mean, because, we've seen how the negative effects on Ben Roethlisberger in calling out players on radio shows, that did not go well. And here he is calling him out on the field. And I think that you don't particularly – where Ben, at least, from Kevin Colbert's point of view, is like, well, listen, Ben's been to the Super Bowl. These guys haven't. And so it's like, okay, he's got that credential. Well, Baker Mayfield, even though he was a rookie quarterback, still a second-year quarterback who's won 7 games. And so it's like to put that there, it's nice to be able to press, but it's like sometimes you don't want to show up your players because they can turn against you, and that's what you worry about. What I get more concerned about is great as the reviews as Freddie Kitchens is doing, and I think that everybody seems to love Freddie Kitchens. It's like, hey, Freddie, you've got to stop this. It's not good for the team.
John, a year ago at this time, did you even hear Freddie Kitchens' name muttered as a possible future head coach in this league?
I mean, the only Kitchens I had heard was, I think, Gordon Ramsay and Hell's Kitchen. So that's about the only Kitchens I had heard of going into last year, because I used to watch that show a lot. And so I don't know why he got off of that. Now he's on a motorcycle. But, no, I think that nobody knew Freddie Kitchens whatsoever. I mean, you know, it's not as if he was the quarterback coach. It wasn't like he was the assistant offensive coordinator. He was the running backs coach. And here he comes in. He, you know, syncs up pretty well with Baker Mayfield. But I've never heard of Freddie Kitchens before.
I've made this comparison. It reminds me a little bit, and this guy was even more qualified based on experience than Kitchens. This transition in Cleveland reminds me a lot of what happened in Tampa with Winston and Cutter. It's like Lovie had a good year, but he got kicked. Now, Hugh didn't. But Lovie got shown the door because I guess Cutter had this unbelievable relationship with Jameis Winston. And what did that get the Bucs? Nothing. And so, nothing. Like, how far does, like, Baker vouching for Freddie Kitchens, what should – I guess it got him a head coaching gig, John, is what it did.
Yeah, but here's where the difference is that you know, at least, I mean, from the very beginning when he took over as head coach, I mean, Dirk started calling out Jameis, at least internally, didn't do it publicly, but it's like, you know, he started pressing him and the relationship strained. And so in this case, you know, he went against Winston, where you look at Freddie Kitchens, it seems like he's enabling.
Yes.
So that's where the difference is. And that's the key to their season, because say what you want. I mean, you know, Kitchens has won great reviews. He's great quote. Players love him, but I think he's letting things go a little bit too far. He's enabling, and he's not stopping.
John Clayton joining us. John, do you think Troy Polamalu will go into the Hall of Fame as a first ballot inductee next year?
Yes, I do. And you know, the reason is pretty simple, because it's tough for safeties to get in, but if you're a game changer, and you know Troy was a game changer, you know, in the sense that you know, he did things. I mean, he created more mobility for safeties. You know, because I mean, you saw how many times he would line up as a deep free safety. Next thing you know, he's running up to the line of scrimmage, and then he still has time to run back and really just confuse any offense with where's he going to be. Because, and he was a guy that you had to spot to say, okay, where's Troy? I've got to see where he's going to be, because you know, he can either make a big hit, make a big play. I've got to watch out for Troy. But he was a game changer, and with all the Pro Bowls and everything else, I think he's first ballot. Ed Reed was first ballot because of all the interceptions and how much of a game changer he was. And so it's like you've got a strong safety that's a game changer, and a free safety in Reed that was a game changer. Both, to my way of thinking, are first ballot Hall of Famers.
John, 3 years from now, how many NFL preseason games will each team be playing?
I think it'll still be four.
Really? Okay.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, hey, listen, we'll know in a month. Yep. I mean, I think if they get this deal done right before the start of the season, and then we'll know. I mean, are they, or will the players, you know, at least accommodate a 17-game schedule? They're not going to do 18. Right now, they're not going to do 17. But if you're going to still stay with 16, it's hard to give up the money from the preseason if you're trying to gain more money. So that's right now, I think it's going to be four, and it's unfortunate. I mean, that game last night, which, of course, I was there watching it, the line I came up in the press box was, I don't know who is in more pain. You've got Vic Fangio with his kidney stones still staying in him, or us watching this game.
Have you ever had a kidney stone before?
I never have, but I had to have stones to watch that game.
And you did. All right, John, enjoy a lovely Canton over the next couple of days.
I will do that.
Thank you so much. There you go, John Clayton. You can text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder reminds you to text responsibly. Man, we've got Pirates news. We got more Pirates news trickling in. This is from the Post-Gazette on why their bullpen catcher got suspended. So we've had a big brawl in Cincinnati that forced Clint Hurdle and Keone Kella and Jose Osuna and Kyle Crick to all get suspended. We had Kella get suspended by the team last week. And now we've got the bullpen catcher who is supposed to be coming back tonight for this game, and now we know why he was suspended in the first place. So stay tuned for that. It's the PM team on the Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.